So today I will be speaking on peace.
Amen.
It's been on my heart, and not just, you know, not solely because of what's going on in the world. I mean, that's part of it, because what's going on in the world can definitely cause some anxiety, can definitely cause some stress and whatnot. But I hope by the end of the day here, we understand that we don't have to partake. Our lives don't have to be what the world's life is. We are different. We have more. And it should show in our actions, and it should show just in who we are. So when I say peace, what comes to mind? When we think about what's going on in this world, do we have peace? You know, when we think about even our relationship with God, is there peace? Because as we'll find out, that's the source. If there's no relationship, there's no peace. You can search all you want. You can do all the things you want to do in your own power to try and conjure this thing up. But if there's no relationship, there's no peace. I believe peace is a knowing, not just mentally, but it's a relationship, an intimate relationship with Christ, an intimate relationship of who he is and what he wants for us. Because if we don't understand that, we're missing out on the power that's there. It's a knowing. It's a understanding that he is good. You know, it's not a feeling. A feeling may come, but it's a relationship. You know, all too often we put too much emphasis on feelings and we're led astray. Instead of putting the emphasis on knowing that I am a child of God, knowing that he loves me, knowing that he wants the best for me, knowing that all of his promises are yes and amen, right? He is a good God. But do we believe that he is that good? It's a statement I heard a few weeks back, and it's really stuck with me. Do I, because there was a time in my life that I didn't believe that he was that good. I believed he was that good to some people, but I wasn't one of those people because of the mistakes and because of the way I was living my life and everything else. I wasn't a part of that favor, per se. And it's not true. That's a lie. That's a lie that's fed, so you never experience the goodness of God. So you never experience the attributes of who he is. So we'll get some definitions out of the way here. So Webster's defines peace as, one, a state of tranquility or quiet. Two, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Freedom from a disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Harmony in personal relations. A state or period of mutual concord between governments or between associations. So you get an idea of what peace is. Thayer's and Strong's, I want to get that real quick here. So Strong's definitions. Peace, by implication, prosperity, you know. There's all sorts of aspects of prosperity, you know. Do we have it in our heart that God wants us to prosper in all aspects of our lives? It's not just financially. It's not just spiritually. It's everything. Everything that God has for us, he wants us to prosper in. One, peace, quietness, rest, set at one again. Thayer's, a state of national tranquility, peace between individuals, harmony, conquered, security, safety, prosperity, felicity, because peace and harmony make and keep things safe and prosperous. Of the Messiah's peace, the way that leads to salvation. And I like this one. Of Christianity, the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. Are you assured in your heart that you are his? And so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. So when we're assured of his goodness, when we're assured that he loves us, peace will follow. Let's get into scripture now. Go ahead and turn to Ephesians 2. We'll read start at 13 through 18, but this is where Paul is talking about how there's no more separation between Gentiles and Jews. Jesus came to bring unity. Jesus came to wipe out the law. So not wipe out the law, but to fulfill the law so that we can have relationship again, and it's not them against us. It's not they get the promises and we don't. He came for all. So we'll start in verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far away, as in the Gentiles, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both groups one and has broken down the barrier of the dividing wall, by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law, commandments contained in ordinances, that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus making peace. Where there's division, there is no peace. Right? We got to have unity within ourselves and within our bodies, you know, within the body of the church. And that he might reconcile both into God into one body through the cross, thereby slaying the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. So some points I want us to take out of this section here. Number one, because of Jesus and his blood, the cross, we can experience peace. We now have it. If we choose salvation, peace is ours. But are we choosing it? Are we choosing? We still have to choose to walk in it. We're not forced to do anything. Two, by fulfilling the law, all can experience peace. There's no separation, there's no distinction anymore. It doesn't matter if you're a worldwide minister or a stay-at-home mom. It does not matter. You can experience the peace of God. Three, he preached peace. And what did he preach? The gospel. Paul, on numerous occasions, calls it the gospel of peace. So let's understand who Jesus is. Let's understand what his ministry was, right? Let's dig in. Let's find out who he was. Because as I've said before, he is the express image. He is the exact image of God. When we've seen him, we've seen the Father. We have to get this in us, that Jesus is our representation of the goodness of God. And if we know nothing about Jesus, we know nothing about his goodness. And that's where we go down these roads of, oh, I'm not good enough. Or that's not for me. Or it could be for them because they do things a lot better than I do. Or they make better choices. Or none of that matters. That was covered under the blood. Jesus paid for all of that. And number four, through him, all have access to the Father through the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be my main focus today, is the Holy Spirit. We no longer have to live up to expectations that we can't achieve. You know, even if you were able to follow the law to the T, it still wouldn't have been good enough. Because it's Jesus' blood that makes us righteous. It's Jesus that fulfilled the law. Because no matter what you do in your heart or in our flesh or wherever, there's something nasty going on at some point or other. Level degrees may vary of nastiness, but you know, it's our flesh. And yes, we can push through this life and we can start pushing that stuff aside, but it's just in us, unfortunately. And thank God for a renewed mind, and thank God for renewed bodies, and you know, like, that's coming. And I'm not here saying that we're all horrible people. We can fight and we can overcome and we can achieve more. But it comes through understanding the Word, it comes through Christ, and it comes through understanding who the Holy Spirit is. Peace starts with Jesus and continues through the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit's been on my heart for a long, long time now. Just, we need to understand it, and that's why I'm so excited on Wednesday nights, even though I can't make it all the time. We're going through that. I'm still reading along, though. It's a great book. And so I'm so excited that we're going through that because, man, I can't imagine not having the Holy Spirit right now, you know? Because I know 5, 6, 7 years ago what I would be doing right now instead of what I actually am had I not, you know, had he not turned things around in my life. You know, I mean, there is fear, there is stress, there is anxiety, there is depression. I mean, suicide rates are through the roof, and it's horrible. We had a friend just tell us of an 11-year-old that committed suicide because he just didn't know when this was going to end. I mean, that's horrible, horrible. But we have something that can help that. We have something in our hearts that can affect those people. You know, we need to continue to ask and seek and find. You know, Luke 11, 9 through 10. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. He's a good father. He's given us good gifts. He's given us everything we need to walk this life out. All. So a quick rundown of who the Holy Spirit is, some of his characteristics. And most of this comes out of John. So John 14 through 16 are some awesome revelations of who the Holy Spirit is. But it says he is the counselor, the helper, teacher. He is our guide. He is power from on high. That comes out of Acts. They received power from on high. He is the spirit of truth. Show you things to come. Bring things to your remembrance. Who doesn't want that? And we can have that at all times. There's no, you know, well, he's shut down for the day. I guess I'm on my own kind of thing. That's not how it works. He is in us. Yeah. You know, we can rely on the Holy Spirit. We can rely on all of these attributes, but we got to know they're there. Right? We got to know who he is. I mean, Jesus didn't start his ministry until he got him. Right? Jesus said, it's better that I go. So you can have him, right? I mean, that's some powerful, powerful statements there. Powerful things to chew on and to think about. That's how important the Holy Spirit is. If he was that important to Christ, he needs to be that important to us. And so, but he's also peace. I had this revelation. And I don't know if maybe most everybody here knows this, but I was studying and I came across, turn to John 14. John 14, 26. We'll do 26 and 27. So for whatever reason, I don't know why. Well, it was just lack of knowledge. But I always split these two verses up. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give you him. I'm going to do all of this. And then he gets down to verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. And for whatever reason, I just stopped everything right there. And then I said, okay, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I don't know why, but I just totally separated those two things as two totally different ideas. but it's not. The Holy Spirit is the peace that he's leaving with you. The Holy Spirit is the peace that he's giving to you. The Holy Spirit is the reason that we can let not our hearts be troubled, nor neither let them be afraid. I almost jumped out of my seat when I was like, oh my gosh, you know? But that's it. He is our help in this life. He is our peace in this life. What are the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. All of a sudden, that connected to me. As soon as that popped into my head, I was like, well, duh. You know, sometimes you, come on, you're better than this, you know? But how many times have I read these scriptures, read those scriptures, read all these other scriptures about the Holy Spirit and his attributes, and I never connected the dots. Thank God for revelation. You know, but this has changed my life. He is our peace. When we walk this life out with him leading us, with him guiding us, with him teaching us, with him revealing the word to us, we have assurance of who we are. We have assurance that we serve a good God. We have assurance that our needs are going to be met. Drop down, actually go over to chapter 16, John 16. And I know you guys have probably heard me harp on this, but I'm going to continue to do it. It's this funnel, right? It's this relationship between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's this vertical funnel that we have because the Holy Spirit resides in us. And it's bore out right here, starting in verse 13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but he will speak whatever he hears, and he will tell you things to come. So we see the relationship there. God the Father, well, let's just finish. He will glorify me, for he will receive from me and will declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and will declare it to you. Amen. So God has given all to Jesus. And Jesus declares it all to the Holy Spirit, which works in us, which resides in us, which is our lifeline to walking this life out. You know, the power is there. Are we utilizing it? We need to utilize it. We need to know the people we need to be ministering to. We need to know the people that we need to be blessing. I mean, gosh, my heart aches for that little boy. You know, just aches. And he's not the only one, unfortunately, you know, that there wasn't anyone around him that could minister peace. There wasn't anyone around him to tell him that there's more to life than COVID-19. And it shows you the power of fear, right? Whether we want to admit it or not, we have an enemy, but we have the power to overcome. We have the power to change lives. We have the power to minister life into people. That's what we've been given, and it comes through the Holy Spirit, who is in direct line with all that the Father has given Jesus. All of it. So throughout these chapters, verses, you know, chapters 14, 15, 16, Jesus is preparing the disciples. You know, he's letting them know, I'm leaving. You know, but where are you going? You know, and they're just not grasping it. Excuse me. He's telling them, I'm going to be leaving. You're going to be scattered. Some tough times are ahead here for you guys. But he's letting them know what's coming. He's letting them know the goodness that they're going to have. He's letting them know the power that's available to them. So down, just go down, 16:33. He ends with, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Right? Unfortunately, they didn't grasp that at the time. Right? They kind of missed it. Thankfully, they figured it out eventually, and they did amazing things, right? They did amazing things because of the Holy Spirit. You know, it wasn't what they could do, because all throughout the Gospels, you know, we see what we're capable of as far as doubt and unbelief. And, you know, the disciples were men, just like we were. But they had a revelation of who the Holy Spirit was, right? They caught on. They got it, you know. It finally clicked. We can also grasp this. We can also understand this because we have the Word. You know, they didn't have what we have. They didn't have, you know, 66 books all laid out, you know, there to study 24/7 if they wanted to. This was kind of learning on the fly kind of deal. But we have more, right? We have more understanding. We can have better understanding. We can walk in peace despite what's going on in the world because we have, let not your heart be troubled or afraid. We have, be of good cheer. We have, I have overcome the world. And who do we serve? We serve the God that spoke that. Do we believe it? Do we believe that he is that good? Right? As always, there's no condemnation here. It's a challenge. Because there's more. There's more. There's more. And it's better than what we have now. And it's good. And it's life-changing for you and for those people around you. There is more. You know, it did say there will be tribulation. But do we focus on the tribulation or do we focus on the peace that's been given to us? Do we walk in the peace that's been given to us? You know, we've been given the gift of power, the power of God, right? On the inside of us, he lives on the inside of us. Once again, the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. It's who he is. It's not just something he can offer. It is, but it is who he is. He cannot change that. He is peace. He is love. He is joy. He is everything we need to walk this life out. Do you believe that he is that good? Yes. I hope the answer is yes. And I hope when you walk out of here today, we can share this with those around us. We can share this peace and we can share, you know what? I don't have to fear this. There's no fear in me. I know who I am. I am a child of God. I have the Holy Spirit residing in me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And go down the list. Go down the list of who we are, what we have, his promises. They're yours. Are you going to take them? Are we going to hold on and run with them? Or are we going to sit in fear and, oh, what's going to happen next? And, oh, what happens if they do this? And, oh, what happens if they do that? And are we going to spend all of our time talking about how the government is overstepping their bounds? Are we going to spend all of our time focusing on what they're doing, what the world's up to, what's going on, and spend just a few minutes a day, oh, thank you for your peace, as you're a puddle on your couch and wondering what just happened? Where is your mind? You know, what are we focused on? Are we focused on the power of God? Are we focused on the life that's inside of us? Or are we jumping in with the world and just letting hatred and bitterness, strife, whatever you just throw out a nasty word, and that's what's in the world right now. We have something else. We have the peace of God residing on the inside of us. We have the life of God residing on the inside of us, the power of God residing on the inside of us, and it should make us go, yes, come on, right? Let's go. Let's do this. Let's speak. Let's speak truth. God knows the world needs truth right now. It doesn't matter. Offense doesn't matter anymore. It's time to speak truth in love. Because guess what? You're going to offend probably 90% of the world right now if you speak anything from the Bible. Oh, yeah. But is it going to stop us from speaking it? No. Is it going to stop us from standing up for what we know and who we are? No. Because this is our truth. He is our truth. Right?
That's right.
This life is but a drop in a ocean. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but we don't have to wait till eternity for eternity to live eternal life. As soon as you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you stepped into eternal life. You stepped into the goodness of God. You stepped into everything He wants for you. Everything is there for you. We don't have to die to experience His goodness. We can experience now. We have been promised fullness of life. Right? Fullness. I want fullness. I don't want empty. I don't want lukewarm. I want fullness. I want, no matter what's going on in the world, I want fullness in my spirit. Because when my spirit is full, it just takes over the rest. My soul, my flesh just follows suit. And it just becomes natural. And it just becomes who I am. I don't need anything that they have. Because I serve the living God who created heaven and earth. I serve the God who loved me so much that He sent His only Son to die for me so we can have relationship again. You know? So I don't have to live under condemnation for who I am. God created man. Why do I have to be ashamed of being a man? Right? We were His crowning creation. He created us the way we are. Granted, sin has complicated things. But at our root, at our core, we are His creation. We don't have to be ashamed of who we are. I'm not ashamed that I'm white. And I'm not going to let anybody make me feel that way. God created all of us, black, white. Doesn't matter what color you are. Doesn't matter your shape. Doesn't matter your size. We have all been created by Him. And the only difference between us and them is we know the truth. I know my identity. I know who I am. We have the peace where we can have freedom from disquieting and oppressive thoughts or emotions. Like, that's in us. Are we embracing it? Are we choosing that peace over fear, anxiety, and just dread of the future, right? I read a fascinating book, really small book, old book, Tortured for Christ. You know, right off the bat, you kind of understand what you're getting into. But it is fascinating. It's hard to read, but it really opens your eyes to what a relationship with Christ is. I mean, these people, it's when communist Russia invaded Poland, and Poland fell under communist Russia. They moved in. All the churches went to the state, except for the Christian churches, and let the torture begin. But it didn't matter. I forget the gentleman's name. But it didn't matter what he was going through. He knew God loved him. You know, he said there was times you couldn't come up, you couldn't think of all these verses, you know. When you're being tortured and when you're in so much pain and so much agony, you don't have a bunch of verses running through your head. But he said, one thing I did know is that Jesus loved me. And I just kept telling myself, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. And that's what got him through, is understanding the love of Christ. Understanding that this is just temporary. This life is temporary. And that it didn't matter what was going to befall him. It didn't matter what was going to befall his family, because they didn't just stop at the men. They tortured the women. They tortured the children. It didn't stop because they're terrible people and they can do terrible things. But who are we? Who am I? I am a child of the living God, and that'll never change. No matter what you do to me, I choose Christ. And it's awful, but it's about one of the more motivating reads, for me anyways. And maybe because I was in the military and pain and torture. I mean, nothing compared to what these people go through, but sometimes, man, that can motivate the heck out of you, right? To just charge, you know? But when we were in the military and you had walked 20 miles and you were tired and you didn't want to take another step, but then they said charge, it didn't matter. You just went. You go. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what's going on around you, because I knew my purpose as a Marine. I knew my purpose was to fight. My purpose was to get to this point and then fight. That was my sole purpose. Our purpose is to know who Jesus is, share his love, and never stop. Never stop. He said in these prisons, they're converting guards, they're converting prisoners, they're converting high-ranking officials, because they just could not understand how they could withstand what they were going through and yet look in their face and tell them, Jesus loves you. Like, that is just powerful. And then these guards would be thrown in the prison, in the cells with them. You know? But it was worth it to them. You know? The goodness and love of Christ was worth it to them, no matter what was happening around them. Jeremiah 29:11, you don't have to turn there, but we all know it. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Thoughts of peace. That's the God we serve. He's not here trying to make your life miserable. He's not here running you through the gauntlet to see if you're worthy to be his child or to be his servant. You know, that's not what this is about. This is about relationship and understanding the love of Christ for us. Right? Because we could never love enough. No matter how far we get in this life, we can never love like Jesus loved. It's about his love. And his love is what transforms us. His love is what changes our heart and draws us into relationship. And when we're drawn into the relationship, things just change. Because there's nothing else that can happen. You can't love Christ or understand the love of Christ and say that stay the same. You can't. It's impossible. And man, when you start getting those revelations and you start growing and you start seeing not just the things around us, but when you start seeing into the Word and seeing into the Spirit and understanding what he wants for us, man, it's powerful, powerful, powerful. Like I said earlier, you don't have to wait to experience this. If you have accepted the Holy Spirit, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have it. What are we doing with it? Are we sitting around waiting for it to, waiting for this feeling to come through us? Because if I feel it, then I know I have it, right? Is that, you know, did you feel salvation? Did anybody, I didn't feel anything when I asked Jesus into my heart. But I believed, right? It's not about these feelings. It's not about, well, if I experience this, then I know his word is true. And if this, this, and this happens, then I know I'm walking in the will of God. No, it's a knowing. It's an intimate relationship. It's not just storing information up here. It's knowing in your heart who he is and what he wants for you. God the Father, Jesus the Holy Spirit loves you. And there is nothing you can do to separate yourself from that. He loves you. And they want to for you to experience all in this life. All. There's no Greek or Hebrew. All is all. Doesn't matter what language it's in. All is all. And we have it on the inside of us. Stop letting your emotions rule over you and know you serve a God who loves you and has given you the gift of peace. Establish that in your heart. I have the gift of peace. I can walk this life out in peace. I can walk this life out in the prosperity of his goodness. And then real quick, Pastor Jonah spoke on this a few weeks ago, but Philippians 4, it's just too good to pass up. Because this portion of scripture really changed my life. Because when I was coming out of all this, you know, I'd filled my head with such junk for years and years and years and years. And it's like the thought of trying to change myself and fix myself and was just so totally overwhelming, you know. Because my thought is always, well, how do I fix myself? How do I, you know, we got to have that revelation. It's not what I can do. It's what he's doing through me. It's what he's doing in me, right? You know, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Then my first question is, well, how do I rejoice always? How is that possible? That can't be possible. It is possible. It is. But there's renewal involved. There was renewing my mind. There was lots of days where all I said to myself is, I have the mind of Christ. Because the old junk inside of me wanted to come up and just fill my thoughts. And it was, no, I have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I can't tell you how many times I've said that statement in the last 4 or 5 years. And I still say it on a daily basis because I still need renewal. I am by no means there. But I've come a long ways, and I continue on going forward. But, so, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let everyone come to know your gentleness. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with gratitude, make your request known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will protect your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is any praise, think on these things. That's the key. Where is our head? I understand we have lives and we have jobs. But we can multitask in our minds. We can. I know I can perform my job and or any job I've ever had, and I know what else was running in my mind while I was performing that job. Right? That's where we renew. That's where we build ourselves up to where we can get to the point where we're not anxious for anything. Is when we're focusing on the Word of God and when we're focusing on His goodness, and whether it's a simple statement of, I have the mind of Christ, You keep speaking it over yourself until you have the revelation of it. You keep speaking it over yourself until it's consuming your mind instead of those thoughts that are dragging you down. We can rejoice always, and we can be anxious for nothing because we serve the God of peace. And his peace surpasses all understanding. That's the amazing part about it. We're never in this life going to receive or understand how it all works. We're not. But I understand that his peace gets me through. Whether I understand it or not, I'm going to rely on his peace. I am going to rely on his knowledge. I am going to rely on his understanding, because that's what's going to get me through. That's what's going to get us through this time. That's what's going to get us to the other side victorious, is knowing who we are and knowing what's available to us. If we have zero idea of what's available to us, man, you're just setting yourself up for failure. Because how do you fight something if you have no idea what the tools or the tools that you have to fight? Right? We got to get in this stuff. We got to understand the Word. We got to understand the role of the Holy Spirit in our life, because it is essential. Essential. And Jesus said, I think it's John 14, not as the world gives do I give. Right? The world can promise peace, but they can never back it up. The world can promise love, but they can never back it up. When Jesus tells you you have something, when Jesus gives you a promise, when Jesus is involved, all things are possible. All things. So in closing, I'd encourage you, choose the peace that surpasses understanding. Choose that peace. And who cares if you don't understand it? Who cares? Choose that peace. Believe that God desires this for you. We have to believe that he is a good God and that he wants this for us. Right? Is he that good? In your heart, is he that good? And trust that what the Holy Spirit is teaching and leading you in is the truth. And walk it out. There's plenty of times where things didn't make sense to me. I didn't understand. But it's amazing what obedience will bring. Right? So. Would you like to close?
So let's pray, and then anyone who needs prayer, go ahead and come up. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for the blessings that you've placed into this body of believers. We thank you for Jesse and his family, for them coming and being part of us. We are honored to have him as part of us, and we are grateful, and we want to minister to him and bless him and let his gift flow. Lord, we just ask that you'd watch over us this week. Lord, give us opportunities to share the love of God as we're with family and friends this week, to give them peace and hope in this world. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.